Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back, my dudes, to another episode of the DTA podcast, the podcast where I yap about something new every Tuesday. I share my biggest secrets, my hottest takes with you all. So welcome or welcome back. Today, we'll be getting into why, in my humble, personal, and maybe only me, maybe not only me opinion, dating freaking sucks right now. Specifically, why, one, I feel like dating apps are contributing to the problem. Okay, they're meant to fix the problem. They're not. Two, how TikTok, I feel, has ruined our ability to authentically and ethically engage with one another. Three, the fact that just, I feel like we need to reevaluate modern day dating in general. And four, as always, I will do my best to find some sort of silver lining in all of this so that we don't end on a negative note. Let's get into it. Part one, dating apps are inherently flawed. Since the rise of tech, dating apps have actually been such a prominent part of how we interact with our phones and each other in a social capacity. Probably one of the most common ways to interact with other people online, aside from social media or apps like Discord, of course. And the dating app market has freaking skyrocketed. But I feel like the actual efficacy of these things has not skyrocketed, okay? Like, you'd think that the premise of a dating app is to make more people come together that are compatible and hopefully spark long-term, healthy, positive relationships. Okay, wrong. I mean, and if you look at how much dating apps make, which, mind you, the dating app market in 2022 was $5.34 billion. Half of that, about $2.8 billion, came from Match Group, which, if you don't know, Match Group owns Tinder, Hinge, Match, Meetic, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, so many of these dating apps. It's kind of like, it reminds me of Coca-Cola, the way that Coca-Cola owns like Fanta and Sprite and Vitamin Water and Smart Water and all of these drinks that you think they would be in competition with, when in reality, they just have a massive monopoly. And it also makes you think that, okay, well, if they own all of these dating apps, they must be kind of coding these dating apps in a certain way to not maximize, you know, how many people get into a relationship, but obviously to maximize user engagement and how much we're paying on these apps and how much time we're spending on these apps. At the end of the day, that's the main thing that's going to drive profits. Don't you think if dating apps were really coded and engineered to get people together, there would be almost no one left on these dating apps and the user bases would just plummet? But no, year over year, they grow and it's more and more people. And I feel like it's almost become this game of either trying to find someone or a game of ego. Some people just get lost in like swiping and paying more and trying to get someone's attention with whatever feature you're paying for and all this stuff. And some people, not to con you now, but I feel like for some people, dating apps are just a game of ego. Like, they want to see how many people are going to swipe on them. They want to see how many likes and matches that they're going to get. They don't really want to engage with every single person on there or everyone that they're swiping on. I've met or heard of people who will just swipe yes on everyone because they want to see who swipes yes on them. But most of the people that they're swiping yes on, they don't actually want, which I feel is a little disingenuous, and I know it's probably not the biggest deal, but when you think about the other kind of person that is on a dating app and maybe so desperately wants to find their match and find someone that they can build a fulfilling life with and build a meaningful connection with, and then they spend so much of their time, or not spend, waste, they end up wasting so much of their time messaging or interacting with people that have no interest in them or just want to sleep with them when maybe that's not what they're interested in. All of these things that are frankly exhausting. I've also heard from guys that there's a lot of like bots on dating apps, I think. like bots that are maybe trying to get you to click a link or do something. I don't really know how it works. Let me tell you guys about the last time that I was on a dating app, which was like a couple years ago. Oh my gosh. Honestly, I thought it was exhausting. For starters, picking the right photos, picking the right bio that both encapsulates who you are but doesn't sound obnoxious or braggy, you're not giving away too much or too little, and is maybe like quirky or funny or engaging in some way. Good God, I swear making like a dating app bio is more work than putting together a goddamn resume. Seriously, I don't need to make my employer fall in love with me. I mean, no, I don't, right? But putting together a profile for your potential love of your life, that's a lot of fucking pressure, okay? Anyways, putting it together was a lot of work, one. But then two, for some reason, I had massive difficulty and guilt swiping through people on dating apps. Like judging someone solely based off of a couple photos and a few words in their bio. And some people don't even make a bio. Like some people just leave their name and their age. I don't know why it was giving me massive decision paralysis. I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but just the thought of like fully rejecting someone based off of their photos or their age or their bio, to me felt so like shallow and like I could be making the wrong decision. And but then also if you swipe yes too often, you're bombarded with messages and trying to keep up with meeting all of these new people and giving them a fair shot. And also some people might not be great at texting. Maybe they'll be better in person. But are you really going to take the time to see if every single person that might be better in person is actually better in person? That's a lot of goddamn work. Oh my God. And I know some people, maybe some of y'all, some people have whole documents or Excel sheets that are meant to track who they're dating, because dating nowadays can just feel like finding a needle in a haystack. Like you have to go through so many people to find someone who's half decent. Oh my God. And so within a week, I was so exhausted just by the process of making my dating application and swiping on people that I decided to delete the app. But before I did that, and also, does my voice sound kind of raspy today? I didn't drink enough water. But I feel like it's giving raspy. Hopefully it doesn't sound bad or anything. But anyways, so back to the story. By the end of the week, I decided to delete the dating app. But before I deleted it, I reached out to one guy that I thought was the most potentially compatible with me, or that I saw the most potential with. And I sent him a message before deleting the app and I said, hey, here's my number. I'm deleting this app, but if you want to go on a date, let me know. Send me a message. Bye. And he did end up sending me a message and we chatted back and forth and he wanted to take me to Nobu. If you don't know what Nobu is, it's a pretty bougie restaurant in LA. And so for a guy to tell you on the first date that he wants to take you to Nobu, it's kind of something. So I was like, okay, take me to Nobu then. And we decided on a date a week later. And leading up to that date, I'm not going to lie, he became a little bit eager. He started texting me like we were dating for 4 years or something, like texting me all day, every day, asking me so many questions, all of this stuff. And for me personally, I thought it was a bit much just because we hadn't met yet. And for me, I was excited to actually go on a date in person and talk about all of these things and all these questions that he's asking me every single day. And I kind of tried to hint that to him. And I was like, you know, if we keep asking each other all these questions, we're going to have nothing to talk about over dinner. And he was like, no, we're going to be fine. And I was like, oh, you're not picking up what I'm putting down. So I try to be as kind and still engaging. The date day finally rolls around, and I'm not gonna lie, by now, I'm not really excited about going on the date because I'm kind of tired of this dude texting me. And I feel bad saying that, but it's just because it felt like too much for how little we had known each other. But regardless, I was like, I'm not going to bail last minute. Let me see this through. Let me meet him in person. So I show up to Nobu. I get all dressed up, go out. I get there and I get to the table that he's at. And I see him in person. And it turns out he's actually really handsome, really like well put together. He is kind of tan, like looks like he goes out or does sports outside. And I was like, oh, you look like a good, healthy, handsome gentleman. So I sit down and we get to talking, and the dinner actually goes really well. Like, conversation is great. We talk about so many things. He's an entrepreneur. And so we talk about a lot of business related things. I didn't mention being a streamer or content creator on my page, but I had a feeling he probably like Googled my name or something. Just by the vibe that came in, he kept talking about being a power couple and how much he loved the idea of being a power couple. Anyways, long story short, we have an amazing like 2-hour dinner. And then near the end of that dinner, he starts telling me about his 2 kids and wife. Yeah. It could have been ex-wife. Like, I don't remember if he was amidst the divorce or it was right after the divorce, but how do you omit that completely from not only your dating profile, but a week of texting me nonstop? Me no comprendo. Anyways, I was also just really caught off guard because I've never been in a situation where I could have dated someone who was a dad. Also, mind you, this guy was in his late 20s, so I didn't anticipate him having, let alone 1 kid, 2, or a wife or ex-wife. And not that that's a bad thing or uncommon or bad at that age. I was just so surprised that he hadn't mentioned it at all. And so I'm sat there on the spot trying not to react negatively or make him feel bad about something that he shouldn't feel bad about having kids or having any sort of dating history, but just being so confused as to why he's telling me this now and why also none of this is on any of his social media. Because obviously I stalked his Instagram. And to me, I think, if I'm going to date a dad, I want to date the proudest dad there ever was. Like, I want him to love posting photos of him and his kids, for him to boast about his children and how much he loves being a dad, not for it to be the kind of thing that, to be honest, I felt like a little bit tricked or deceived into going on this date and then for him to tell me this. From his perspective, wouldn't he want to be going on a date with someone who's okay with him having kids, as opposed to going on a date with someone who might not be okay or might be indecisive, and then him try to convince them into being okay with it? And of course, you don't have to tell someone on the first date everything or right away when you meet them. But to me, having kids is a big enough deal that I would want to know right away. Anyways, that was my latest interaction on a dating app, and it was just a little bit too much for me. It made me feel like I would have to go on so many dates that might end up feeling like a waste of time in order for me to find someone who was really worthwhile. Anyways, quite the tangent, but let's go back to dating apps. Apparently, 1/3 of online dating users say they have paid for extra features, which really doesn't surprise me considering how profitable these apps are, right? And this is not to say that you can't find the right person on a dating app. You absolutely can. I think something like 1 in 10 adults who have used a dating app in the last few years end up finding their partner on a dating app. So 1 in 10 isn't terrible odds, but it's also not amazing odds. I think it's exactly what you would expect from such a profitable business. And I think my point with all of this is just to say, we need to keep in mind that these apps are inherently created to make us spend more time and money on them. They're not inherently created to find us a match. We need to do that. We need to make sure that we're choosing the right people, that we're filtering properly, that we're being very open and honest with our intentions when we're talking to people on these apps. I feel like that onus is entirely on us and not at all on these goddamn apps. I also think with online dating, there's such a lack of accountability. Like, there are so many examples of people ghosting. And it's not always just after one or two dates. Like, you could be seeing someone for months and still get ghosted. But if you met on a dating app, you don't know any of their friends or family. They don't know any of your friends or family. They're not going to feel like they, quote unquote, owe you anything. Which to me is just terrible because we're all human beings. We all have feelings. It doesn't matter if you're going to get in trouble or not for ghosting me. I still think ghosting is something we shouldn't do to each other. Because we know how terrible it can feel, how confusing it can feel. One conversation of closure isn't going to kill you. But that's just how it is nowadays. There's such a lack of accountability. And I remember I've seen comments of people talking about this and comparing it to, like, you know, back in the olden days, you would meet someone through someone else. You would all live in the same city or village or hut. I don't know. And so you can't really ghost someone because you all know each other. Like, you're going to see that person in a few days or something. But in the modern adult day and age of dating, ghosting is so easy and accessible. And not just ghosting, cheating. Cheating has only been made easier by technology and these dating apps and what have you. Oh my God, I actually have a story for this too, girl. So, a few years ago, I met someone online. And he really liked me, and he really wanted to be with me. Obviously, he lived in another state, but we had a lot of fun chatting and gaming together and all of this stuff. And as much as he wanted to be with me, and as sweet as he was, my feelings were a little bit uncertain. Like, there was just something about him that was a bit off or confusing. Some kind of a red flag, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. And he would always tell me, oh, I don't use social media. Like, when I asked to follow him on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, he's like, I don't really use social media. You know, I just talk to people on Discord or through games or through text message or whatever. And I was like, oh, honestly, I think that's kind of cool. If someone does not have social media, all good. And obviously, I believed him without thinking twice about it. But we also had, like, a group of friends online, and we would all talk to each other in a big group chat. And I was really close friends with another girl in our group of friends. And one day, she showed me his Twitter. And I was like, hold up, he told me he doesn't have social media. And I confront him about it, and he says, oh, yeah, I just don't use it that often. And I said, okay, Mr. posted like a month ago. All right. And I gave him another chance. And with time, I ended up discovering every single social media page that he had, including an Instagram page where he had his girlfriend's at in his bio. Yeah. And here's the craziest part. I had given him some kind of like online gift card. And I confronted him about all of this. Gift card aside, I confronted him and I was like, yo, I found your Instagram, idiot. And your girlfriend, idiot. And he was like, oh, what do you mean? We're broken up. I was like, girl, she's in your bio. You're not broken up. Get the heck out of here. Fooled me once or twice, but not thrice or forthrice. What's fourth? I don't know. Not that many times, okay? I'm like a little dumb, not a whole idiot. Just a little, like I'll give you some leeway. And the confrontation went so kooky that at one point I was just asking him to give me my gift card back. I was like, listen, I don't care what happens. I don't want to be with you, but can I have my gift card back? Please, you big fat liar. Anyways, he blocked me and I never got the gift card back. And I don't think I could have even contacted his girlfriend because she had like a private account or something, so I couldn't message her. It was all very sad. But in a way, not surprising. So when your gut ever tells you, there's a red flag here, you just don't know what it is, don't ignore it. Because it's probably indicative of something. But yeah, I feel like being online, it's just, it's too easy to cheat. It's too easy to ghost. Bad people can just get away with so much more thanks to modern day technology. Mm-hmm. So maybe back in the village days, one fuckboy could play like two or three girls at once. But now, thanks to the internet, they could be playing like six, seven, eight girls at once. It's crazy. It's crazy. I still love the internet though, but you know, we gotta discuss the downside sometimes. And as I kind of mentioned before, I feel like it's just a game of how long can we keep you on the app? How engaged can we keep you? How many times can we show you hot people in your area that might be interested in you, but it's actually gonna go nowhere? As well as a game of ego, people just being on these apps to see who's interested, who's interested. Have you guys heard of Raya? If you haven't, it's a dating app. I don't know if it's, I think it's based in LA. I know a lot of people in LA who have it. And it's a dating app that's literally all about like celebrities, quote unquote, or people with fame or clout dating each other. Like you have to apply to be on the app and they essentially have to check if you're clouted enough to be on the app. And I just fucking know. Nobody finds a relationship on those damn apps. I know everybody just wants to know who's into them and who might want to sleep with them, you know? Because I've also seen some friends on those apps. It's the same story with them. It's maybe some messages here and there, but it's all just who's going to swipe on me and who's not and who am I going to follow on Instagram? And it rarely, rarely, rarely ever leads anywhere. But it's because we get such dopamine hits from our phones and other people finding us attractive. Which, before I move on to my next points, I want to say, kind of in relation to dating apps and technology, I feel like a big reason why a lot of relationships fail nowadays is because you will find someone who's like 80% right for you. They have 80% of the things that you want, but you get hyper fixated on that 20% and you start looking for it in other people and thinking, oh, maybe I should date this person because they have this one trait that my partner is missing. And you might go to them, but your overall compatibility is only a 20. I feel like we keep looking to optimize the person that we're dating, like the individual, and seeing if maybe there's someone better out there, especially with all the people we see on social media, on dating apps, on all of this stuff. It's like there's always this fantasy of someone better. But instead of optimizing like the individual that we're choosing, we forget to optimize the relationship that we're in and working on that connection instead. Because frankly, finding someone who's like 80% right for you is so hard, or 90%. Like if you have someone who you think is 90% amazing, bro, that is a treasure. Take them and like run with that. You can build such a beautiful, long-lasting relationship with that. I think it's impossible to find someone who's 100% perfect. So make do with what you got and understand that the grass is not always greener on the other side. As cheesy as it is, it's greener where you water it. So water your relationships. Anyways, that's my personal onion. And I will be completely honest and say that it's not just something that I often see in other people. It's also something that I struggle with at times in relationships, especially as someone who, frankly, hasn't dated a ton. Like, I've dated a bit, but it still doesn't feel like a ton, especially not at my age. And I can't help but think like, oh, do I need more experience? Do I need to see what's out there more? But I also think like that's such a mental trap. I think you can spend your entire life seeing what's out there. But if you have a bit of experience and you've met people and you kind of know what you want, you can tell if someone is generally compatible with you and then maybe just do your best together. I don't freaking know. Let's move on. I wanted to talk about how I think social media impacts today's dating game. And I'm not talking about Riz. Oh my God, I'm so sick and tired of seeing videos where it's like, if your partner does this, this, or that, you need to break up with them immediately. If someone talks like this, or does that, that's a red flag. No. Like, people trying to clickbait dating advice. And I mean, of course, there's some good advice out there, and not me also giving advice. But some of this clickbait and really reductionist advice and really sensationalized and dramatized advice is kooky crazy. They'll be telling you, like, if your boyfriend doesn't wish you a good morning and a good night every single day, break up with them tomorrow because you deserve better, queen. And you know what? If that's what you want and that's what you've asked for, then yeah, sure. If someone isn't willing to give you what you've specifically outlined and it's not a crazy ask, yeah, you do deserve better. But it feels so reductionist in the sense that they will never talk about the work that goes into a relationship and the fact that some of these things that might be considered bad or red flags or confusing or things that you don't want are sometimes things that you need to work through in a relationship. Maybe someone isn't used to texting very often or being communicative or having a partner. And so you need to communicate and ask for that as well and be understanding of where they're coming into the relationship from and how much experience they have. And in my opinion, it just completely disregards whether or not someone is well-intentioned and is putting in the effort. To me, that's what's really important in a relationship. Not how tall you are, not whether or not you behave perfectly, but whether you care about the relationship as much as your partner and whether you're willing to put in that work. And so, not just that, but I feel like there's a lot of content that appeals only and in a very extreme way to either men or women. You guys, I'm sure, have seen content that's like, dude, you're the prize. You can date as many people as you want. Or women, you're the prize. Don't settle for a man who's not gonna buy you everything on earth. And frankly, I feel like both ends of that spectrum are just so unrealistic and unnecessary. And I think it might lead a lot of people down the wrong path of having the wrong assumptions in a relationship. Those assumptions might work for some people, but they're not going to work for everyone. And they're probably not going to work for your average Jane and average Joe. So I'm really curious if you guys see that kind of content and if you agree with it. I would like to think that it's more of like an entertainment thing and it's not really that common that people follow that advice, especially because, oh my God, I did an IG story and I asked you guys, for how many of you is marriage a long-term goal? And I was astounded by the response. About like 70 to 80% of you guys said that marriage is a long-term goal of yours. And to be honest, I expected those numbers to be a lot less. And I also asked why, and I think I'm in a similar boat where marriage or the idea of finding your forever person was kind of just ingrained into us when we were much younger, and it's such a beautiful fantasy. I'm not gonna lie, sometimes seeing how relationships unfold day to day, that fantasy can be kind of torn down, but it's still such an exciting idea nonetheless. And having someone to kind of walk through this journey of life with sounds so lovely, right? But we all know the marriage rates are plummeting and the divorce rates are skyrocketing. So I think there's a lot of things at play that we can continue to discuss. Speaking of TikTok, did you guys see there was someone named Risa Tisa who did a 50-part series called Who the F Did I Marry?, where she spoke about her ex-husband. She called him Legion. She talked about how he was a pathological liar, all the stealing that he did, how she fell for him, and how he essentially built up an entire fake life. Fake phone calls, fake job, fake documents, fake social security number, fake everything. And she wound up married to him and didn't find out until much, much, much later. And it's such a scary tale. And also, if any of you guys watch Love is Blind, if you don't know what Love is Blind is, it's a reality TV dating show where people meet each other in these things called pods. So they can only communicate with each other via like microphone. They can't see each other. And you're meant to fall in love with someone just by their words as opposed to how they look. And then they're supposed to marry each other or decide to marry each other without even seeing each other. And then they get to meet IRL afterwards. To be honest, it's Discord dating. But as a TV show, and I'm not going to lie, it's pretty juicy. It's pretty entertaining. But it's crazy that when I watch this show and I see all of these people that are planning on getting married, and I'm looking at them like, I don't think any of you guys should get married. And does that thought come from the fact that this is a reality TV dating show, so it's meant to look dramatic and bad? Or is it just that relationships nowadays really are this messy? I don't know. Or is it the edit? Because of course they're editing in a certain way to kind of look worse. But God damn, I think it has only become more difficult to not only find the right person, but get married. And can we just talk about how big of a scam marriages are? Like, okay, not marriages, sorry. Weddings. Weddings feel like the biggest modern day scam. It's not a surprise that most people nowadays, not most, but a lot more people are just skipping out on weddings entirely. They are so expensive. The venue, the food, the flowers, the decorations, the dress, the suit, inviting or feeling the pressure to invite everybody and their mother. And in a recession? Huh? In this economy? It's astounding. We need to, I think, not just revolutionize modern day dating, revolutionize modern day weddings. Okay, let's just get together, have a little party, call ourselves married, and call it a day. Because all this other stuff is not just so much pressure, it's so much work and so much money. Speaking of marriage, I have a bit of a confession. I'm married. No, I'm kidding. I feel bad talking about this, but it is my honest feelings and I hope to express them properly. Something that I struggle with nowadays is the idea of being in a long-term committed relationship versus either being married or single. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I feel like I'd rather be single or married. I don't want an in-between. And I don't know if that's crazy to think or lazy to think or shallow of me to think. But the reason I feel this way is because I feel like a long-term committed relationship is just as much work as a marriage. Like, am I wrong? Not only do we need to make sacrifices for each other and, you know, consider each other in our day-to-day lives, but also, like, some people in long-term committed relationships live together. It basically looks like a marriage. Sometimes calling it a marriage is no different than just what you're doing already. You're just putting a label on it or a different label on it. And I feel like it's just so much commitment. Am I becoming a fuckboy? I guess maybe this comes from a place of being concerned about being in a long-term committed relationship that never leads to marriage. And what if you just do that over and over and over again with the promise or idea of almost like the carrot on a stick of marriage, but you never actually get there. And then you break up and then you find someone else to date and then you get into another long-term committed relationship. It's like, It's hard to tell when is the right time to get married anymore. You know, we're not back in the traditional days where it's like, well, I fuck with you, you fuck with me, our families fuck with each other. Not like that, but our families like each other and get along. And you gave my dad a couple goats, and I'm good to go. Let's go. Nowadays, it's like, when is the right time? Do I need to wait to be in a certain part of my career? Do I need to wait for you to be at a certain part of your career? Do we need to both be financially stable? Do we need to be ready to have this big, huge marriage that, I mean, if you're not financially stable, will put you in debt and have this huge proclamation to other people? And just, I feel like this serial long-term dating thing is very, very scary to me. And I guess that's why I'm just scared of ending up being one of those people who's like, I'm just going to keep dating people long-term forever. So I'm 35, 40, 45, and still not married. And still, I guess, in a way, don't have what I ultimately want. I do think my mind is a little bit extremist in this regard. It jumps to the extreme of, okay, be single or get married right now. Loki got me thinking about arranged marriages again. Okay, not actually, not in the way that they were done before, not when they were forced arranged marriages. Yeah, no to that. But, you know, the idea of an arranged marriage in the way that, hey, we're meeting only for the purposes of getting married. And if we get along, it's going to happen right now. I am so curious if there are any arranged but not forced marriages nowadays that actually work out. I've obviously seen like a TikTok or two of people talking about it, but it's a very hard thing to survey. I'll say that much. But yeah, am I crazy for feeling this way? I'm not gonna lie, it makes me feel a bit crazy or a bit maybe a bit selfish. Yeah. I don't know if that's the correct sentiment, but that's why I don't love expressing this thought. There is a sentiment of guilt there, and I'm trying to work out why, and I think it's because it feels like selfish to be like, I don't want to be in a long-term committed, like marry me right now or I'm going to stay single. I don't know. I also want to say, don't get me wrong, I absolutely don't think people need to get married. I don't think marriage is for everyone or necessary. I've seen a lot of people say that monogamy, like being with one person forever, is just like it's preventing you from experiencing as much as you possibly could in life, right? And I hear a lot of people who are into polyamory say, for me, I want to let my partner experience everything that they ever could and anyone that they could ever be interested with or interested in. And that's why I'm going to let them, you know, do whatever, because I don't want to steal any possible experiences from them. And a couple years back, I used to find that sentiment really sweet and almost interesting or enticing in some way. But I've come to realize there is no sentiment or structure that is necessarily better than any other one. I don't think you're better for being willing to let your partner sleep with other people just because other people turn them on or they're interested in someone else. Like, I don't think there's some kind of like sentiment of being a martyr or, oh, I'm so selfless, I'm letting you F whoever. I really, really don't think that it's superior in that regard. And the reason why I say that is because you could say the exact opposite thing for being in a monogamous relationship where it's like, I'm sacrificing any other potential sexual or romantic interest to be with you because I care more about your feelings and the relationship that we are building and the life that we're building. And I wouldn't want anyone else or any other feelings to get in the way of that. I think you can kind of justify sacrificing either which way. So I think it's all about finding which kind of sacrifice works for you or feels right for you in your specific stage of life. Yeah. I think, you know, it's just so tired to force anyone to kind of be any sort of way in today's modern day environment. So yes, although I don't think marriage is necessary, I do still think that community and relationships are so crucial to any human being's well-being and sense of happiness and sense of self and stability. And so I think they're important to talk about, and I don't want us to start chalking them up to whatever or just do whatever, sleep with whoever, whatever. I think these are important things to work through, and not, we don't need to build a rigid structure as was traditional maybe a few generations ago. But I do feel like because so much of social media nowadays is so reductionist in the sense that it's short form, we want to fill in as much information in as short of a period of time and make it as sensational and as exciting and as possible, that I feel like we've lost the plot entirely. Like really, really lost the plot entirely. So I hope that some of my ramblings and thoughts maybe resonate with some of you guys. Oh my God, tell me why one of my points on this was really bring back arranged marriages, question mark. We don't need to do all that, okay? But you kind of get what I mean. Bring back relationships for the sole purpose of marriages. The alternative would be obviously to be in a relationship with like a timeline for marriage, right? But then if I was in a relationship with a timeline for marriage, that would be so much pressure. But if I'm in a relationship with no timeline for marriage, now I feel like, is it worth my time? Are we even going to get married? So many thoughts and feelings. I think a reason why I feel this way also is because life can be so great when you're on your own, or when you're in a way not in a relationship or not in a marriage or not committed or don't have kids. Not that all of these things can't be great. Commitment, marriage, kids, all of these things can be great, but they can also be something that just flips your life upside down. And choosing to take that on is a massive endeavor. And sometimes you don't even properly choose it. It kind of just happens to you. And I think because like, I love the work that I do. I love my apartment. I love my cats. I love my hobbies. I love my friends. Like my life on its own is so lovely that really embedding someone else into it, I'm like, you gotta be fucking amazing. And you need to earn your spot here. And we need to pair really well together and make sure that our communication and our relationship is up to par with all the other great things that I've built for myself over the years and chosen to keep as a part of my life. It kind of reminds me of, have you guys heard of the 4B movement in Korea? It's this kind of interesting feminist movement. And I think it's meant to stand for the four no's, the four B's. And essentially, societally, Korea has a bit of a misogynistic history. And I think a lot of women nowadays are sick and tired of it. So much so that they don't even find relationships or marriages that enticing or worthwhile because they fear winding up in a really bad spot where they aren't treated as well as the husband or where they're just seen as a mom or as a caretaker and where they lose a lot of autonomy or sense of self or ability to enjoy their lives on their own, frankly. And so this whole movement or idea centered around saying no to four things. No to dating, no to sex, no to having kids, and no to relationships. Yep, there's a whole movement for it and a whole term for the movement, which I find interesting and kind of funny. Maybe I shouldn't find that funny, but I do. I always think empowering niche movements, I like it. I'm not saying that I like it in the sense that you need to do it or it's good for society or whatever. Actually, right now, South Korea has the lowest birth rates, like ever. So, I mean, maybe treat your girly pops better. What can I say? I think it is interesting to see that this has become such a large issue that it's become a movement. I also think we're seeing so many changes in how relationships work nowadays because women have so much more opportunity, which obviously I love. But the sense that, you know, a few generations back, women frankly relied on men a lot more for financial security, social security. But nowadays, we can get a job about as easily as a man can. Of course, I'm not going to say everything's equal or whatever, whatever, but you get what I mean. We have opportunities to get good jobs, to work hard, to make careers for ourselves, to sustain ourselves, to choose a life for ourselves and to take care of ourselves. And it's no surprise that a lot of us don't want to be in these maybe traditional relationships where we might feel like we need to give up our sense of self. But of course, that's not how a relationship has to be. Actually, let's briefly talk about money. So when it comes to dating, I prefer equity over equality. Equality is like if we go and the bill comes 50-50, you pay half, I pay half. Equity is if I make twice as much as you do, I'm happy to spend twice as much as you're going to spend. I'm happy to cover twice as many expenses as you need to cover because it's easier for me to than it is for you. And so I think that's why the one kind of guy that I could never date is a stingy rich guy. Just because, like, if I'm in a relationship with someone who doesn't make as much money as me, I'm turning into a full-blown sugar mama. I don't care. I'll pay. I got us. Don't worry about it. Like, I hope you wind up in a better financial situation throughout the course of our relationship. But if I'm with someone who is much more financially well off than me, but he's always dead set on going 50-50, he's counting everything down to the penny, he's making me Venmo him for a coffee. Culturally, and the way that I am in relationships is really not like that. I love to pay for other people. In my culture, like, we're fighting over the bill. We want to feed other people. We want to gift them things. We want to make them happy. And I think it would be really hard for me to be in a relationship with someone who's not like that at all and is instead, like, counting down to the penny. So personally, I prefer the idea of equity and the idea of I want to spend my money on you and I want to take care of you and I want you to feel the same way about me. And I think over time it evens out. Like, I got you, you got me, we got each other. That's at least how I feel. I know everybody's different. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to finding someone who views it similarly as you. Maybe find someone who's 50-50, maybe find someone who's 100-0, maybe find someone who's more based on equity or someone who's culturally like you, whatever works. Yeah, whatever works. Whatever works. I don't think that's going to be the takeaway, but it also kind of is in the sense that dating dynamics and dating nowadays might be super confusing. It might be time consuming. It might be
expensive.
It might be hurtful. It might be all of these things. But I actually view it as a huge opportunity. I actually view it with a sense of excitement, in the sense that, you know, my grandma's generation, it was very much you get married young, you have kids, you have as many of them as possible, you're the caretaker. My mom's generation, it was a bit more 50-50. We're both working. We're doing our best. We're raising the kids together. And nowadays, it kind of feels like we're all a bit lost because very different people want very different things. We're all being told very different things, and it's hard to match up with the right people. But because of that, I feel like it allows us this huge opportunity to rewrite relationship roles or gender roles or whatever we want. It, like, we are able to have relationships entirely on our terms. Literally, we can make up a relationship structure, and if we find someone who likes it, that's what we do. And I actually think there's so much beauty in that. Is there a lot of confusion? Are there dating apps trying to kind of take advantage? Are there people trying to take advantage by being dishonest or not being forthcoming with their intentions or trying to date multiple people at once or trying to do whatever? Sure, but there's also huge opportunity to be in any kind of relationship that you want, to write your own script for a relationship that you're in. And I think that's really amazing. I think there's a lot of beauty in that. And I'm excited to kind of see where the conversation goes from here. And I think there's a chance that, you know, on social media, there may always be these pockets of extremism that end up going viral for whatever reason. But those also could just be pockets of the internet and not always reflective of real life. And I do urge you to meet more people in real life. Before I leave, I want to leave you guys with a very quick piece of advice. At least from my experience, the best way to meet people is through someone that you trust really well. I feel this way about friendships too. Like when I really trust a friend of mine and I like them a lot, I tend to really like their friends as well. And the same is gonna go for someone who's a potential romantic partner. So do ask your friends or friends of friends or, you know, family members even that you think might have good taste for you. I think it's much easier that way than swiping 100 times on Tinder. Then again, maybe that's just my personal experience. I'm just here to yap a bit every week about how I feel. And if you enjoyed it, please do rate us on Spotify. You just click the top three little buttons in the top right of the page. Leave us a little review. I love to see it. And if you want to be part of the polls or see any clips from the podcast, follow us over on Instagram at @don'ttellanyone. And I'll see you guys next week. Do take care. Drink some water. Go on a walk. And love you very much. Bye.